Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
With us is Brilliant Football Mind, joins us every Thursday right here on the slot. Chris, how you been, sir?
Hey, Bill, doing good, man.
Got a lot here. I hope I don't skip anything. I'm sure I'll forget something, but here is the first item. It's from Twitter, and it's from Vanilla Thunder. Says, ask Chris if he thinks Saban is definitely going to make a move at defensive coordinator. And what advice would you also have for Tua?
I would say probably there's going to be a move. It depends upon getting the guy that he wants. He would have made a decision differently last year, but he couldn't get the guy that he wanted. There's a couple of guys that he was interested in. But so I would say that depends, but I would say that he probably is going to make a move. Tua, I'm assuming you're talking about, the recent talk. Of course, he's, should come out and will come out. There's no reason to come back. It is far too risky. And the reality is, wherever he gets drafted this year, relative to where he would have been drafted had he not had the injury, we're never going to know exactly. Everyone assumes it would have been the number one pick, and they're going to. But it would have been somewhere, let's just say, in the top five. And wherever he gets taken, we don't know. And obviously, medically, that'll determine it. But that money will be, lost, or it never happened, but that will never be made up in that sense. To go back to school where you don't get paid only does two things. It eliminates the money he would be making this year wherever he's drafted, which is still going to be very good, and it gets him 1 year closer towards the real big money, with the life-altering money, which is a second contract. To risk it, to come back to school, to hope to be the number one pick, that is so risky, because if he gets injured again, then he basically runs the risk of losing everything, meaning then at that point you're already dealing with durability questions with him. He had another injury on top of that, where he's been injured the past couple of years. I think you're risking an awful lot. Now, obviously, whatever he wants to do, and it's great, and I'm sure that he would like to be competing for a national title and winning a Heisman. But just from a pure, I think risk reward standpoint, it makes no sense. And I'm sure that Nick's going to say the same thing to him, that it just doesn't make much sense for him to do that. So it's a tough situation, obviously, but that's all the more reason why, if you had that injury, well, the answer is you don't want to come back and run the risk of another injury where in playing ball where you're not getting paid. That, to me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense just from a pure standpoint and a financial risk. I just don't really see it. Love to see him in college football, but that's from a personal standpoint. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Driving down the road yesterday, Chris, and this hit me. I said, I've got to ask him this. Now, again, this is kind of a hypothetical thing. I'm making this up on the fly. But if Joe Burrow and Justin Fields is only a sophomore, but if they were in the same draft, who would be taken higher?
Oh, Burrow. I mean, I would take Burrow higher, and I would think most other people in the league would too.
Yeah. And again, for the audience, that's not good versus bad. Both are damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, right now, Burrow, he's the hottest supermodel walking down the track, right?
Well, yeah, and he's much more advanced as a passer running an offense that does a lot more things to it and a lot more reads to it than what Justin has to do. And Justin's running a college offense, whereas Burrow was doing a lot of the things that are now being utilized in the pro game. So from a lot of what Justin Fields is doing is a lot of predetermined stuff, whereas Burrow is basically running that offense. It's not,
right.
They're not giving him play calls, they're giving him concepts, and he is really making the decisions on the field, which that is the big reason why, in my opinion, he would be the pick and be the most successful. But Fields, you're correct, will be also.
Jim in Jupiter asked Chris about Mike Norvell and if he thinks that he would be successful if he does indeed take that FSU job.
Yes, I think he'd be very successful. He is not only a really good teacher, he is an exceptional evaluator of coaches and developer of coaches. Look at the guys off of his staff that moved on to even bigger jobs and have done very well. I think the whole key is if leadership there, if they have good leadership from a university and athletic department standpoint, and they continue to grow and make the improvements in fundraising, I think they can do great things there. In terms of coaching, developing, I think he'd be outstanding. I don't have any doubt about that.
There was some talk earlier last hour. Bud Foster obviously is retiring. That's not a new story. But Brandy over in the Virginia area said Bill was talking to somebody, and they say maybe he'll just take a year off and then come back. Are you hearing anything like that about him?
No. I mean, Bud's basically taken off because he had the heart scare, the problem with the heart. So
right.
I don't think he wants to do that anymore. I think if he did, taking time off and coming back is always something that it's tough to get it out of your blood if you've been there. So I wouldn't rule it out, and certainly a good, clean, healthy checkup. Why not? I just, it's impossible for me to say how all those things are going to work out health-wise and what his mindset's going to be in a year or two from now. But I would keep it open, but it's nothing that's imminent right now, I don't think. Kind of the same thing with Chris Peterson, too, from a head coaching standpoint. I'd expect, Pete to come back maybe at some point, but it's going to be in that part of the country where he lives, and I would bet that he would probably be at a small college because he's not really into the whole limelight. He's a football coach who likes the coach. Doesn't really like the trappings of it, although the money is always very good, and that's why he took the opportunity at Washington.
Yeah, I mean, if Washington was kind of his dream job, ultimately, and he's a Pacific Northwest guy, and he's going to step down from that, you would think it has to be something like burnout or whatever it might be. And like you, you could see him coming back, but if he's going to step aside from that gig, then you can't lure him, let's say, down south or Midwest just because you've got some sexy opening, right?
No, No, that's correct. So his dream jobs were Washington and Oregon. I mean, that's in that locale.
Yeah.
And I respect it. You know, because he's made good money, special needs child, all of that. I could see him coaching at a small Division II school in that area, junior college. That you know, if he wanted to do that, that's probably what he would do, where he could coach and not have to deal with it. I can tell you he was much happier at Boise than at Washington, and he loved Washington. It's just that he doesn't like all the hype. He doesn't like being the center of attention. He likes his team and his players being the center of attention. He doesn't like all that stuff that goes with it. You know, the money's really good. I know he was always intrigued by coaching at the highest level at a big-time conference. So the Washington job, he wanted to do it. But, you know, he'd become very unhappy and overstressed with dealing with the non-football things that are associated with being a big-time football coach. And, you know, the things and the stresses of recruiting were at a small – his dad was a small college coach. I think that's where he'd be most happy now that he's obviously done very well financially for himself. So if he does it again, I would suspect that would it be. Never would say never about anything, but people who think, oh, yeah, watch, he'll be at USC next year. I can tell you that is the worst and the something that I could absolutely not see. That would be like a fish trying to walk on land. That would not be a fit at all. For him.
Chris, got a couple minutes on the other side?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. When we come back, Hawkeye Jason wants to know about Rutgers and going forward, how that's going to work out with Shiano. And Charlie, strong question. We got a few for Chris, so we'll plug it, and then on the other side, we'll get him to opine. Goggin, Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's busy out here with a couple of wrecks in Nolensville Pike at McCall Street that just occurred. Trying to wrap up the paperwork on that wreck at Harding Place at Trousdale Drive. Hickory Hollow Parkway was blocked a few minutes ago at Bell Road due to that collision. Traffic's really heavy now down 65 coming past Vietnam Vets. You got all that traffic coming down out of Robertson County through Sumner County as well. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fare, save you 70% off. Call today, 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary Valet parking is always available.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden and Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Hey, Bill King here. You want to get your business on my show? Let me explain something. Our advertisers are not just local. We have such a huge streaming audience that our advertisers are everywhere. So if you want to grow your business, you want us to help you do that, email BillisKing7, that's number 7, BillisKing7 at gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. We'll get your business on the radio, and we'll help you grow your business. Contact us if you want your brand to grow on my show, BillisKing7 at gmail.com.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. All the coaching information this time of year, so much news out there. Chris, before we get to the Rutgers question and Charlie Strong, your thoughts on Southern Cal retaining Clay Helton, which sounds like they've done.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. It wasn't ideal with Mike Bone coming in as late as he did because, Lynn Swann leaving when he did. It's always better if you've got maybe an entire football season to plan and go through things. I have no doubt he reached out to a couple of big names that just weren't interested. So in that process, when he's gotten to know Clay, people said, well, why would you hire that? Why would you hire that guy if you're not going to find a new coach? Well, I understand that, but if you don't feel you've got someone that you feel is better and you give Clay the mandate that you're going to have to make changes because kind of here's where we are. It doesn't look like USC. They don't have the talent level. They're not recruiting at the level they need to be recruiting. So you have to, I'm speaking to Clay now, we have to make the changes necessary to get to that point because I do think the on-the-field part has looked better than the recruiting. So I think you have to work both ends. This is what we're going to need from you in order to consider bringing you back, and at the same time, you make some calls and see if you can get someone that you think is ideally suited. And if they don't take it at this point, he wasn't able to find that. I think there is some – because they're not extending him, it gives him a year, and certainly Clay will remain on the hot seat. And if he makes those changes and he can get recruiting figured out, then who knows? They may hit lightning in a bottle. If not, then I expect that change next year at this time. The biggest thing that USC struggled with in recruiting is their overall philosophy. There's no program in the country that was historically, from the days when I was recruiting in college now to just doing consulting stuff, that's a long time ago. But even back then, they were notoriously the late signing group. They could sit, and that's, by the way, was the best way to always do it. You can't do that today. So they would always thoroughly evaluate and get who they wanted, and kids would wait on them. Now they're just getting left in the dust because so many people are coming in and taking those kids. And those kids are going where folks are offering them sooner. USC's got to get on board with that and have to have that in place. And that's the biggest reason why Clay's not been successful. And it's probably if he doesn't get it done next year and they make that move, that's going to be the reason why, more so than the on-the-field coaching, which has been inconsistent. But at least, there've been some smatterings of success. The recruiting part has been very disappointing from a USC standard. They got players. They should look like one of the nation's elite, and they don't right now.
Hawkeye Jason, ask Chris about Rutgers going forward with Shiano specifically. What style of play would be most successful?
Well, I think you got to play to your. I think there's one thing that Greg's going to want to do is build a physical defense, defend the run, and play well in the secondary. He's got those areas. So I think offensively, to me, I think he's probably going to be, you know, a one-back tight end. But I think he's going to embrace the ability to be able to go three wide some and be able to throw it. So it's going to be interesting to see who he brings in as coordinator. Part of the deal is the money for staff. So I think what you're going to see is a physical football team that's going to be able to run on defense. Then offensively, they're going to want to be able to run the football. They're going to recruit running backs hard. But it's been a while since he's been a head coach. I think he's been influenced by, you know, the people he's been around and his assistant, and particularly influenced by, you know, being around Belichick and being so close to him. So I think offensively, he's going to be a little bit more eclectic from a passing game standpoint than maybe his first time around. That's just out of necessity and need in today's game. But, you know, you've got to be physical in the Big Ten. If you don't, you're not going to hold up. And I think that's even some of the problems that we're having right now at a place like Nebraska. So if you're Rutgers, the one thing I think that he's going to do by his personality and by necessity, you're going to have to be physical. You're going to have to at least be able to line up and get off the field defensively, be strong, physical, run, tackle, relative to the football. And offensively, you have to find a way to run the football and get your quarterback that could make good decisions, work the passing game. But if you're not physical in that league, you're not going to last. He's not going to be able to get it to look like Ohio State or the elite teams. But, man, if you're at the bottom and you either have to be really physical or you have to go the opposite way where you're really finesse and do it with really good quickness, maybe like Purdue does it. But if you're not physical on defense, you're going to die in that league quickly. He knows that.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com with us. Do you think after being a head coach at three different stops, Charlie Strong, Louisville, Texas, now USF, do you think he would be open to being a defensive coordinator or not?
I do. I mean, I don't know about this year, and I mean, I'm taking a guess, but just knowing him and his personality, yeah, I think he's a ball coach. He likes being a ball coach, and he has the type of personality that would be comfortable doing it. Now, you know, where and where they want to live, he and his wife and his family, I don't know about all that. But, yeah, I do. I do think he would at the right stop.
Couple of others for Chris. Josh in London, Ohio, wants to get your thoughts on Virginia Clemson. Now, he was asking about the point spread. And, Chris, knowing you all these years, you're not Mr. Gambling guy. You're more on the field, personnel kind of guy, that type of analysis. It's a 28-29 point spread. I guess I'll generalize the question. Do you think this Clemson-Virginia game is going to be a rout?
I do. In fact, I am hoping from a viewing standpoint that the Saturday night games have something that's even somewhat entertaining in the second half, because with Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Clemson-Virginia, my thoughts is that we're going to be watching two blowouts. So I do think it will be a decisive win. And I think there's a very good chance Clemson could win in the third by 30. I do. I think that they would love nothing more and probably would match up very well to be able to score a lot of points. This Virginia defense has been banged up, so I think their chances are pretty good. And even though the question wasn't about that, I don't know that it'll look a whole lot different this time with Ohio State, Wisconsin, although I do think Wisconsin can learn a few things from a protection standpoint to do a little bit better against Chase Young, but still not going to be good enough to really challenge. But I think those are two decisive wins.
Georgia won't have Lawrence Cager. Again, that's not new news, but their best receiver is not available with an ankle injury. He's done, sounds like, and then for his college career. And the young wide receiver who was playing well, Pickens, in a knucklehead move, got in a fight in the Georgia Tech game. He's out for the first half of the game. Swift went down in the Georgia Tech game with an injury. Does Georgia have more than a fighting chance against LSU?
It's going to be tough. What they're going to, and you know, just go in that premise, let's adjust that. So right. What that means is those two safeties, Delp and Stevens, can basically, if Georgia's receivers are not able to win in one-on-one coverage against LSU, which is going to be a challenge, then those safeties can really get very active against the run, which that's what Georgia needs to do. And that's what Georgia does. Look, it's pretty simple. Georgia's going to have to play their best game of the year, an absolutely clean game, probably create some short fields for their offense. But the biggest factor towards Georgia winning is their red zone, offensive red zone efficiency versus LSU's defensive red zone efficiency. Because Georgia can potentially run the football on LSU and maybe limit LSU's offensive possessions. But if Georgia doesn't score touchdowns, you know, Blankenship kicking field goals is not going to do it. And even though you keep LSU's offense off the field for stretches, they're going to get enough shots to where they're going to score. So can they reduce the possessions enough to where they can score 27 and hold LSU to 24? That's what they have to do, and that's going to require them being dominant in the run game, finishing in the red zone, and obviously having their defense fresh for four quarters, so that I would expect that they're going to do some good things defensively, better than most have done against LSU. But can you do it for four quarters? You know, it's one thing to do it for a half, maybe even the third quarter. But if you are on the field for, you know, snap 75, 80, 85, you'll get gashed. It's the great defenses that are on the field, more snaps than they should be, will eventually get worn down, and like a great shooter in basketball, they may go, you know, miss eight straight, and then all of a sudden they'll hit you with, you know, five threes to win the game. And this is kind of what this LSU's offense is all about. And let's not get into if LSU gets a lead and Georgia has to abandon their run in the second half to be pass first, then it could be a real problem. I think LSU's defense is getting just a tad bit healthier, which helps them on that side of the ball. So, well, I think LSU's the clear favorite. Georgia can win it, but I think we've just kind of laid out the plan and how effective they're going to have to be with it. It's not like, boy, this great big upset, but it's going to require a game in which they've not played thus far this year, and that is no mistakes, clean, yet much more effectiveness in the red zone, scoring touchdowns.
Chris, got about a minute. What do you – I would hate being asked this question, by the way, but I'll throw it at you. What do you think the committee will do if it comes down to Utah or Oklahoma? Oklahoma, let's say, beats Baylor, and Utah beats Oregon.
I think it's going to matter how it looks this weekend. Yeah. I think it depends. For me, here's what – you know, how does Utah look against Oregon? How does Oklahoma, Baylor look against one another? I do think one game being a blowout, a decided victory, another one that's close, could absolutely kind of flip one way or the other. I think you got the Oklahoma pedigree, which matters. You got also some of the metrics that favor Oklahoma. In my opinion, Utah is the better team. Utah's more talented. Defensively, they're much more solid. Now, I know, okay, more talented than Oklahoma? Yeah, they are. Much more talented on defense. But here's the first thing. Can Utah beat Oregon? Can Utah handle the moment? You know, are they going to be like West Virginia or Oklahoma State in the BCS days when they were headed towards the national championship game but couldn't win those games? That's the one thing. Can Utah, their players, knowing they're so close to potentially getting there, will they play their best game? Their best game is really good. People just don't know and haven't done their homework on Utah. Quarterback's outstanding, running back's outstanding, offensive line's outstanding, defensive line is as good against the run as anybody in the country, Linebackers are good, and the secondary is elite. This is a really good team. I just don't know if they're going to play well in the moment on Friday night. We'll see. I don't know what they're going to do. I think that Oklahoma might get the nod because of who they are, and it's and maybe the feeling that, you know, they're perceived to be better. That's what I think Utah's fighting, which is unfortunate, but that's probably the reality.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all your information.
At LandryFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball. We go in-depth with a lot of sensitive inside information on the coaching searches, but we do that for our members, and we give you an idea of why things are being done and who's being talked to and what the feedback is. So obviously that's big right now. All the film room breakdowns for all these games. Recruiting, been doing a lot of work, evaluating a lot of players. We're going to be kind of flipping the page to that and getting everything aligned with how recruiting classes are shaping up for everyone there. Obviously, draft preparation, all-star games, where what players are going to be declaring, all those things we'll have up to date, obviously, for our pro football fans as well when the stretch run the last quarter of the season. So all things football, inside the film room, inside information, 50% discount holiday special. So great gift idea for a loved one or for yourself. Take advantage of it today. That puts you at less than $5 a month. So we think you'll love it, and check it out. It's always great to be with you, Bill.
Thank you, Chris. See you, bud.
Thanks a bunch.
There you go. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Got to get the break. Gog and Cold Hall Studios presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's heavy bumper to bumper at times now. 65 South here at Trinity Lane. Sure, we've seen a couple of wrecks in the last few minutes, like 25th and Clarksville Pike was tying up traffic. North Nashville, Nolensville Pike at McCall, they're still working that crash on the south side. Here comes that surge of traffic now on I-40 eastbound, especially here at Charlotte Pike. Oh, you got all that traffic coming in from Dixon County. Hey, get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fares, they save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time. Traffic.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio, class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy, now Sir Speedy Music City. I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are the same people that you've come to love, and that's Sir Speedy Berry Hill is now Sir Speedy Music City. We did that just to be a part of the community that we're in and show our love for Music City. Even though we go all over the Southeast, we do most of our business here, and we love this city.
Phone number and the website.
615-832-9511 or SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Who was the company that heard the ad?
Donut Distillery over in East Nashville heard the ad and said, if you know George, then we'll do business with you.
Boy, that is scary. But here's the bottom line. You go in and see them, and when you do, you tell them Platt sent you.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business while providing reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And they do it with the name brands like Rude you have come to trust. I should know, I have a new Rude in my house and have been a customer for almost a decade. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to LanhamsACService.com.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
No core. I missed this. Chris did answer it, though. Said, what does Chris think about Peterson stepping down at UW and expectations under Lake? And Chris replied, Jimmy is an outstanding coach. Now I know why he didn't take the Alabama DC job last year. Yeah, because if you'll recall, Nick went after him for that gig. Pensacola Pete, great day once again for Chris on the show. Yeah, Chris is always good. He knows what he's doing, man. Hawkeye Jason said the same thing. Busting more grapes than Lucy, Bill. Chris Landry, this morning on the show. We've got the rest of the way plenty of extemporaneous hangout time. Yeah, plenty of it. So if you want to get in, 615-844-5600 on Twitter at Bill S. King, or you can email the show, BillSKing7@gmail.com. And Brad will be with us tomorrow. And Josh, I'll ask Brad about that Clemson. We've got games, specific games to get to. And we'll ask him about that Clemson game that you've been asking about. The spread is, 28 now? I think it's down a point. But it was. We were looking at it. Did it ever get to 30? Did anybody see any 30s in there? Maybe. But that game ought to be a rout. Clemson is many levels better than Virginia. That ought to be a one-sided game. Jawan Jennings. Oh, here's some news. Did you see this? Jawan Jennings is suspended for the first half of Tennessee's bowl game, whatever bowl game that's going to be, for the foot stomping on the head of the Vanderbilt football player in the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game. That was an ugly incident. That was an incident that is embarrassing. That's an incident that you cannot just gloss over and say, you know, it's just one of those moments. No. That was bad. That was a, look, Jawan Jennings has had a good finish to his career. Otherwise, that was a classless move. And I'm a fan of his as a player. I literally followed him from high school. Hell, he was a basketball kid, too. Very good. They won the state his junior year, and he was a big part of it. Hellacious overall athlete. I think he might be a better pro than what we saw in college. He's a big-time talent. But that moment was a classless moment, having said all that. Not something that you would be proud of. So the SEC office, I think, got with Tennessee. They discussed it, and he is suspended for the first half of the bowl game. That's coming up. Crazy Charlie, who'd you say we have here? Oh, Peabody has dialed us up. What's up, Peabody?
Bill King, how are you, friend?
We are well. Appreciate it.
All right. Good, good, good. Hey, I was wondering, I didn't get to see the game, but did Tennessee fans rush the field after they got that big victory over Vanderbilt? I know it's been a while.
That game was so delayed that I wasn't watching by that moment. I couldn't tell you.
I'm surprised if they didn't, because it's been a while since they beat up on Vanderbilt. And I heard through the grapevine that a Tennessee fan called the station last week and accused somebody else of thuggery. Is that true that somebody called and said that another team is thuggery or a coach is thuggery?
We take a lot. I don't even know. Let's just, for the sake of the conversation, let me just say yes. Somebody did, yes.
I think I know who it was. I think it was the cattleman dude called and accused somebody else of thuggery, and then his team turns around the next day and is accused of stepping on a player's face on the sideline after an out-of-bounds tackle. And he called somebody else thuggery. Oh, my gosh, you got to watch Glass Houses. You know, the one thing I was thinking, is there a chance if the SEC does not get a team in the playoff this year? You say Georgia beats LSU. Is there a chance that nobody's in from the SEC?
Not a chance.
How do you figure? You got Ohio State. You got Clemson. You got Utah right on the door. Then who's the other one that's out there?
Well, you've got Ohio State. You got Clemson. You've got, well, you, if you're leaving out the SEC, you either have Oklahoma, Baylor, or Utah. But the only way the SEC some random year wouldn't get in is if you had, let's say you had a 10-2 team against an 8-4 team. It's a year where there's really not a standout SEC team, and there's an upset. The 8-4 team beat the 10-2 team. Then maybe you don't get an SEC team in. Otherwise, the SEC will always have a team in.
You know, it's a shame. It's a shame that one of those very good teams, LSU or Georgia, is going to be left out this year. Because they're both very good, and it's likely that Georgia is going to beat LSU. And then what do you have? You have LSU sitting on the outside looking in.
LSU, unless it's a blowout, LSU's in. Now, unless it's just something totally ugly, no, LSU's in. LSU's resume through 12 games has basically ensured them a slot.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. You know what's wrong with college football right now, Bill, is that they've gone like figure skating. They've gone to judges and a committee, and it just gives it a bad taint. It's not good at all. But you do a great job talking about it, but we'll keep listening.
All right, Peabody. Appreciate the call. Okay, here's what we got to do. We got to get break. We got a little long in the last one with Chris, which is fine because Chris is full of information. No problem there. Coming right back, Gog and Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The police are still gathered up on the scene of that crash at 25th and Clarksville Pike. It's just bumper to bumper around here where you would imagine this time of the morning on 40 westbound here at Spence Lane coming through Hermitage, Donaldson. You got all that traffic volume on Vietnam Vets right now through Hendersonville as well, trying to get up to I-65. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fares, they save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Innsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade, co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at innsworth.com to learn more.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up. ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Five State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Clouds roll in as the day rolls on today. We'll get up to a warm 59 and a shot at some rain tonight after 1 a.m. Otherwise, cloudy skies and down to 43. Could see rain again tomorrow. We're going to wrap up your work week cloudy and get up to a cooler 54. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Ryan. Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
You are listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.
In the SEC championship game is which LSU defense shows up. He says if we get the defense from the Ole Miss game, Georgia will win despite Joe's flying circus. Boy, I don't know. I don't know if Georgia's got enough offense there. And this LSU fan saying that. I don't know. Grant from 30 for 30 fame. Bill, Clemson winning two natties with quarterbacks from Georgia just eats me up. If Fields wins it this year, and then he just leaves it blank. Yeah. Deshaun Watson and Pretty Boy, and now Fields up there in CBUS. I understand what he's saying. That would be ironic, wouldn't it? And look, Georgia has had good quarterback play. It's not like the quarterback has been the issue. Not at all. Jake has not had the best junior year, but Jake Fromm's been an overall excellent quarterback from his very early freshman beginnings to now. Again, not a great junior year, but if I'm Georgia, I'm happy Jake Fromm's my quarterback, and I know they are. Jeff in the Borough. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, Bill? What you know?
Now, do you spell that B-U-R-R-E-A-U-X or just B-O-R-O?
No, well, we're not worried about Joe Burrow, Bill. I'm like what Coach Kubrick said, Bill, was that Lynn Bowden should be the MVP of college football, Bill. Not Joe Burrow. So that was his opinion on the SEC network. So, and Mark Spears said if it wasn't for Joe Burrow, that Lynn Bowden would be the offensive player of the year in the Southeastern Conference. It wasn't what Joe Burrow did. So that's just two guys on the SEC network giving you, taking some love that they don't get very much. I'll just give it, leave it at that. But Bill, wanted to wish you luckiest weekend. I don't know when y'all play Summit plays in the state championships. I know you'll be in Cookeville, I'm sure, up there at Tucker Stadium watching. So I don't know when y'all play.
Friday night at 7 o'clock, Tucker Stadium in Cookeville, Tennessee. I will be there, yes.
I didn't know if you guys could find it. Is Summit leaving right now, Bill, so they can get there on time? Or they going to wait till Friday morning and leave? Or they gonna
probably
going to
leave about 6 o'clock Friday
6
night.
O'clock,
it'll probably. Be
right. I didn't know if they'd stop off in the Burr and get breakfast before they come up. So
actually, they went last time when they went to Gallatin, they went through the Borough and had lunch there, then at the hotel, had a walkthrough there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Now, I don't know what their plans are this time. They don't give me – my son doesn't give me the – he's afraid I may give away the game plan. So he
doesn't. Oh, I understand. Yeah, we don't want to do that. So, yeah. But, no, they've had a really good year. I saw where they're not a very old school, 10 years old or something like that?
I think 9 years.
9 years, okay. I know it wasn't very, very long as far as that goes, But no, this is some of your show this year. I mean, this morning, Bill. And what do you think about the Jennings situation, Bill? Is it not good what Sankey did, or is should he just let it slide?
No, you had to discipline him somehow. You can't face stomp a guy and not get disciplined. No.
Well, let me tell you something, Bill. Why didn't Tennessee do anything and force the SEC's hand? That's what I want to know.
Well, now, I don't know what all went on there. I don't know if the SEC contacted them and they'd been talking about it. I don't know that. I don't know for sure that Tennessee wasn't going to do anything.
So you think Tennessee would have done something? You think they would have?
Well, I don't know. I really don't. Let me think about it.
The thing about it is, Bill, is we had three incidents last weekend, and we heard crickets until yesterday. The Tennessee situation, Ole Misses, and the Georgia Tech. And we heard crickets until yesterday from the SEC office. We heard crickets, nothing. We heard nothing about it. So it's pretty bad on college football when that stuff happens in the SEC, and it's supposed to mean more, Bill. And I guess the SEC has a permanent seat, so they're never going to be left out of the college playoffs. Is that right, Bill? They're never going to be left out. Is that true?
Well, now, we just talked about that. If there's a huge upset in the SEC, let's say somebody wins a division with some kind of crappy 8-4 record, and then they get in the SEC championship game and they win it, they upset a team that's 10-2, maybe that year you don't get somebody in. But in general terms, as long as the SEC is up, there's always going to be a team in.
Yeah. What did y'all see this weekend? I think LSU is going to beat Georgia anyway. I mean, I think it's pretty much going to be chalk, I think I would say. I mean, I think Wisconsin has a good shot to beat Ohio State, but I don't really know last time they didn't. So, but I think Clemson will pretty much roll. But the thing I think it's going to come down to is either Oklahoma, Baylor, or Utah. And I'd love to see Utah in it just for somebody new, somebody different. You know, somebody not the same old thing. The one thing we won't get this year, Bill, is Alabama Clemson Part 25. We won't get that. That's what
your boy Feinbaum said that the country doesn't want Utah. That's your boy.
Well, I mean, that's his opinion. I just like to have for somebody else new, somebody that we haven't seen. So, but of course, I know, Bill, how much you love the Pac-12, and I know how much did you count all people at their championship game. I know you were out there counting attendance and everything, and I know USC keeping Clay Helton just a huge story, isn't it? That's a huge story in college football. That's a huge story. So I think he should have been kept anyway. 40-21 is a pretty good record to me. So I'll let him slide myself. He's a pretty good record, and the new AD over there, I'm sure he knows what he's doing. They've got a lot of championships in the trophy case. Because the Pac-12 has won over 500 national championships in the history. So I think they know a lot about having championship trophies. When you got a school like UCLA that all they do is have trophy cases for national championships, they don't even keep conference championship trophies. They use them for doorstops. So when you have a school like that in your conference, then you know something's great. So, but we'll see what happens with the playoff field. All these championship games, like Ryan Terrio says, are money grabs. So we'll see how much money the conference can grab this weekend. And we'll see. And have a good weekend, Bill. Good luck to Sunday up at Cookeville. Have a good one.
Yeah, should I? Here's my question. And for all you folks listening from out of town, you won't relate here. So I'll make it quick. Should I take 840? I've been debating this. Should I take 840 to Cookeville, meaning 840 through the borough, and then I hit 40 east, and then I just stay on the route eastward to Cookeville? Or should I go through downtown Nashville past the airport 40 east that way? That's my question. Somebody give me what they would do there. What's faster? And you got to remember now, I'm also considering Friday traffic. If I got to cut through the edge of downtown past the airport on Friday, now I'm going into town against the traffic a little bit, right? Because everybody's coming home south. Those that live south, like I do, are coming home. But then going out the other way, those that live east, I'm getting in their flow. What should I do? Yeah, we've got the state championship game is Friday night, and we've already made plans. We're going to leave mid-afternoon. Game's at 7 o'clock. I'm about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Cookeville, I think. Yeah, I think so. Vanilla Thunder says 840. Clay says, yes, Bill, take 840. I took 840. I've done that a few times. It seems like it's so long, though. Now, there's no, the traffic's going to be way better. I'm with you there. Remember the old Indy-style raceway? You go by that, too. Is that just an abandoned lot now? What is that? So, Greg Polk says go 440. What is there's construction on 8? What do you say? I'm just trying to avoid downtown Nashville. Unless I'm going to the Omni, I'm trying to avoid it. Okay, we'll be right back.